ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Prices shift, petrol jumps, shares fall. A company cuts jobs, and suddenly the business story is everyone's story.
I'm Alan Kohler.
And I'm Carrington Clark. From Monday to Thursday on ABC Business Daily, we break down the biggest stories in business, finance, and the economy, and why they matter.
Then on Fridays, I'll go deeper on That's Business, the people making decisions, taking risks, and shaping where the economy goes next.
Find it all in the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced on the lands of the Awabakal and Gadigal people. Just a warning, this episode includes some discussion about adult items. It's not explicit, but there might be some words in here that your kids might ask you to define, and if you don't want to do that, maybe skip this particular episode. G'day, Matt Bevan here. This is If You're Listening. We've had a lot of responses to our last couple of episodes about the Trump family's involvement in cryptocurrency and prediction markets. There's quite a lot of, how is this legal? And also a little bit of, so, the president's a capitalist, who cares? But for us here working on this show, one of the most interesting things is how many incredible stories there are related to these subjects. In particular, some extraordinary stories of people finding ways to manipulate prediction markets. It was genuinely very difficult for us to figure out which ones needed to go in the episode. We basically just decided to keep it to stories very specifically relevant to Trump and the war in Iran, but there were just so many others, including one that supervising producer Cara Jensen-McKinnon has become particularly interested in. G'day, Cara.
Hello. I am very interested in this story.
Before we get to the story, Cara, have you ever done any insider trading?
Not that I can think of, and not that I'm willing to admit on an ABC podcast. How about you?
Well, no, I haven't done it, but the closest that I've come to it, not that I could admit to crimes on the podcast and haven't indeed done any. But a few years ago, I remember a story came out that one of the online sports betting agencies had put out like a market on who was going to win the Triple J Hottest 100.
Okay.
I don't know, certainly don't know who wins the Hottest 100, but I know the people who collate the votes before the, you know, the broadcast begins. Someone knows who won. And I was like, could I? No, I mean, obviously I won't, but
could we? Yeah.
But there was a slight moment of, I appear to be adjacent to insider information.
Yeah.
Here. And it was interesting. An all-staff email went out here at the ABC saying, do not bet on the Hottest 100, please. Absolutely do not get involved in that at all. We do not like this. Please stay away from it. And I'm sure that everybody did. The realization I had is, you know, the amount of money that you could make on that kind of a market, betting against a bookmaker, you would have to risk your job over like a couple of $100 that you could potentially win.
Yes, yes.
The prediction markets have changed that a lot, where you can actually make some serious money and potentially get away with it.
Yes.
But this is a story that you've got for us. It isn't really insider trading. It's kind of about being able to place a bet on a thing that you can then just make happen yourself.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. This story is like a bit of a convergence. So the last two episodes we did, we looked at crypto markets and kind of these like pump and dump schemes in tokens, in cryptocurrency, which is basically where you put a bunch of money in, then you create this kind of marketing frenzy around the company. People invest and then you basically cash out while it's peaking and then it crashes, the value crashes. And we also did an episode looking at prediction markets last week, specifically Polymarket, and how people are basically just cashing in on information that they already know. So this story is those two stories coming together for the ultimate story.
Oh, okay.
It starts on the 28th of July last year. I don't know if you remember that far back. Actually, 1 year ago to the day.
Yes, that's 1 year ago today. That's crazy. Okay.
There was a cryptocurrency meme coin launched called the Dildo Coin.
I can't believe, Cara, that we weren't already like organizing events to commemorate the anniversary of that.
Yeah, this is the 1 year anniversary of the Dildo Coin launch. And so, as is customary for these coin launches, the people who are behind it are like, how are we going to really enhance the hype, basically, around this so we can super boost the value? And the way that they determined that they would do that was through this coordinated stunt by getting people to throw sex toys, specifically dildos, onto the WNBA, the women's NBA court, during live games. I don't know if you remember this, but it was a big story last year, kind of in August, that I remember happening, and then just it got covered over by every other news thing happening at the time.
No, I didn't see it at the
time. You're not subscribed to dildo news?
No, I'm not. Oh, no. Unless it happens in the NRL or the NRLW, I don't really notice it in sports terms.
Okay, so this coin launches, they come up with this stunt. I wonder how long you think it took for the first one to happen.
The first throwing.
The first toss.
The next day, maybe? I don't know.
It was absolutely the next day during a game between Atlanta Dream and the Golden State Valkyries. In the fourth quarter, a neon green dildo landed on the court and play stopped. An official had to kick it off.
Hayes gets blocked by Maya Caldwell. Something flies on the court, actually, from the crowd. That is a first.
And police arrested a guy, this 23-year-old guy, and charged him with disorderly conduct and public indecency. Uh-huh. So this happened, and instead of everyone being like, okay, you know, this is terrible, let's shut this down, it happened 8 more times.
Okay.
The next one happened on August 1st in Chicago. On August 5th, 3 were thrown in one day, one in a Los Angeles game where it almost hit one of the players, a woman called Sophie Cunningham.
Oh, look out. Something just came onto the floor. Got an object that just flew in as the free throw was being made. And it looked like that hit a player too.
I know her. She's one of 2 WNBA players that I know.
She's one of the famous ones. It happened in Phoenix where that dildo hit a man and his 9-year-old niece. Mm. And then it happened in Brooklyn where it hit a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, my goodness.
And then a week later, there was another incident in Chicago. As you can imagine, these tossings are disrupting the games. The players, the refs, the officials are furious. Sophie Cunningham, who you know, said publicly that this has got to stop. Obviously, somebody's going to get hurt. A lot of players came out and said that it was disrespectful, obviously. The Minnesota coach linked it to a pattern of sexualization of women to undermine them. It's clear. And then this is where Polly Market comes in.
Of course.
Our prediction market. While the WNBA league was trying to stop this, Polly Market was monetizing it. On the 6th of August, so we're a week into this, Polymarket's sports accounts launched something they called the Dildo Dailies, which is where you could basically place a bet on when the next dildo would land on an NBA court.
All right. So similar to the bets that we were talking about with MAGA My Man, the person who was betting on when the US would launch strikes on Iran, picking a day that this would happen?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. So you're betting on the game that it's going to happen. You're betting on the color of the dildo that's going to be thrown. You're betting on the quarter that it's going to land. So you're paying for these shares basically into these yes or no votes, as we went into in the episode. And people were very angry at the story, but a lot of people were very keen on betting on this. And by the following week, it was reported that $500,000 US dollars had changed hands just on these markets alone, betting on these dildo dailies.
Okay.
One report said that on one single weekend, $63,000 was traded, and one guy made $6,000 off a single incident. And then Polymarket, rather than kind of trying to shut it down or trying to suggest that perhaps people slow down their betting on this, posted from their own account that the WNBA betting volumes on dildos has surpassed the betting volume for who will actually win the game.
Great.
And so this creates this problem, basically, as we went into with the episode, where if you have access to information, you know, you can obviously bet on it and make a big deal of money. With this, they kind of created this perfect storm where, like, tickets to the WNBA aren't actually that expensive and dildos also aren't that expensive to buy. So people were kind of like, for $50 attending WNBA games with a dildo in their bag and throwing it on and then cashing in on a bet that they have placed.
Right.
It's a $50 spend for a potentially one person made $6,000.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
It's also exactly the kind of thing that would not be possible if not for the fact that these are these prediction markets rather than betting markets.
Yes.
Not that I'm advocating for the integrity of bookmakers, but the bookmakers would not allow there to be a market for something that you can bet on and then go out and fulfill the bet yourself.
Exactly. Any single person in the crowd can fulfill the bet based on a bet that they've made. And that's kind of what makes it so crazy. And even Polymarket, you know, with their encouragement of this, people attending the game, they had then a couple of weeks later posted again from their sports account saying that the WNBA has introduced a no bag policy.
No bags.
They were going to be basically not allowing people to take bags in. And so it ended up not being true. People were always allowed to take bags in, but Polymarket kind of created this hype around that they were cracking down on it, so people just started doing it more. Some weeks later, so this is late August now, three people had been arrested from doing it, but they weren't really charged. They were just charged with indecency. It just started to create this like frenetic thing where people were going, they were getting charged, they're paying for tickets, they're throwing these dildos, and no one was doing anything to stop it. Mm. Obviously, a lot of critics have kind of come and said that there is an inherent misogyny within the crypto and the prediction market, and that this stunt is obviously explicitly about disrupting women's games. There was no organized campaigns to disrupt men's games. This is all happening. They're getting a lot of pushback from these female athletes saying that they're undermining the sport, but a lot of people are making a lot of money. Then Polymarket, after having basically like whipped up this frenzy, entered the chat, and their official statement was that the original stunt was organized by meme coin promoters, so those dildo coin promoters who were chasing the token value, and not a stated ideological campaign against women's sports. So that's what they said. I mean, whether that's a distinction that matters, profiting from harm to women versus deliberately targeting the women, I think it should be said that the way that Polymarket makes its money is that they take a percentage of every transaction made on the site. So they are directly profiting from harm to women. Obviously, they're not creating these markets and they're not deliberately targeting them, but they are profiting from those transactions.
Yeah. Presumably it's only because this was kind of a news adjacent event because of the inherent misogyny of what was going on that this became a big enough deal for this to be a betting market.
Absolutely.
You've got an utterly ridiculous betting market that is wrapped up in the publicity of another event that is only being publicized because it's inherently misogynist and terrible.
Exactly.
Two stupid things clashing into each other to make a mega stupid thing.
Yeah, exactly. You've got these crypto bros like cashing in on the humiliation of these female athletes. All the while this is happening, so there's been $500,000 in bets have been made, and the meme coin, the original coin, that dildo coin that kicked all this off, quadrupled in value in just the space of 4 weeks while this is going on. It's taken the guardrails off where, you know, you can launch a coin like this and you can almost do anything to get the market hype that you need. And so they cashed out of their coin and then the whole thing kind of stopped happening because the authorities started cracking down more. They'd cashed out of their coin, so they got the payout that they wanted. But like a sad indictment of where we're headed when it comes to cryptocurrency and prediction markets.
The issue with the crypto thing is like, what is the point of this? This is something that I know that you've thought a lot more about than I have, but I don't understand why anybody is getting involved in crypto because it just seems pointless. It doesn't seem like Dildo Coin had any inherent value.
No.
It was just a thing that people put money into because they thought it was funny.
Yes.
And then lost all their money, you know? I mean, what was the point?
Well, that's the thing.
Why did anybody join in? And it's the same thing with the Trump coin, and it's the same thing with all of these different meme coins. I don't understand the drive that people have to get involved in this when they know, when everybody knows that you're just going to lose money on it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I've been involved embarrassingly in crypto for a little while, but you basically just profit off the back of people who get in after you. Mm. So if you can get in earlier as you're surging upwards, as things are becoming more valuable, then you stand to profit from everyone who invests after you, so long as you can cash out at a higher value than when you bought in.
Yes.
And that's the thing. No one suggests that Dildo Coin has any inherent value or that it's even like a good idea in any way. But if you bought into Dildo Coin when it was 0.001 cents and then you sold out when it was worth a dollar, you've made a lot of money.
Yes.
And that's off the back of this media hype that has been created off the back of this entire campaign. And that's why people do it.
So it's a pyramid scheme. Is essentially what it is.
Pretty much, yeah. So long as there's someone that's dumber than you, that comes in later than you, who you can profit off, that's what you're looking for.
Yes.
And once you're in, then you have to contribute to the narrative as well. You have to continue to build the hype.
Which is also the reality of a lot of the prediction markets as well. We are obviously talking about prediction markets that are based on, you know, you making predictions about things that you either can control or have inside information about.
Mm.
Events that are not random, events that are directly influenced by decisions that people make. But the vast majority of what these prediction market companies are is they're just sports betting companies.
Exactly.
Almost everything that happens on Kalshi, which is Polymarket's main rival, like it is like 90% sports betting. Polymarket is not quite that much, but it's still vast majority of it is sports betting. The stuff that isn't sports betting is often just betting on broader financial markets. But we're focusing in on this inherently insane and ridiculous practice of setting up markets that are obviously massively going to draw in insider traders. And those markets are exactly the same thing as the meme coin pyramid scheme. What you need to do in order to make money on those things is be the guy who knows the answer to the question and then lure in a huge number of people who are uninformed in order to create the liquidity for you to win.
Exactly.
Because knowing the thing isn't enough. You also need to find people to bet against you.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's interesting looking at Polymarket's account on X now because it's just so random, incredibly like scatterbrained. What even is this? What is going on here? I don't understand what any of this means.
Exactly.
Just looking at the posts over the last 24, 48 hours. Just in, Polymarket says, Elon Musk declares it's time for humanity to become multiplanetary. Okay. Another one, just in, Anthony Fauci wrote in his March 2020 diary that his newfound fame was explosive and really unimaginable. Like, okay.
Are these things you can bet on or is this just things that are happening?
They are linking to these betting markets.
Right.
Polymarket then says, according to Polymarket, there's a 6% chance that Fauci is going to get arrested this year.
Okay.
And you can get on there and you can buy shares in betting on who you think is going to be arrested this year.
Jeez.
I don't really know what the point of these markets is apart from luring in insider traders and then luring in rubes to bet against those insider traders.
Right.
What do you think will happen? I mean, you've got a situation where the prediction markets are banned in Australia.
Yes, for good reason.
Australia and various European countries are just going, no, this is ridiculous. We can't have this. And I suppose that's just not going to happen under the current administration in the United States.
Yeah. My only feeling is that unless there's some sort of insider information that is revealed through a betting market that is legitimately damaging to the Trump administration, then I can't see that there's going to be any crackdown anytime soon.
Yeah. An argument could be made from, you know, cynical people. Like, who cares about all this? Why do I care if there's a weird, you know, random market where insiders are profiting from inside information and stealing it from gullible people who are willing to bet into these markets without inside information? And I guess the only answer to that is because it's potentially going to undermine military operations and cause, you know, serious issues with the economy.
That's right.
I mean, imagine if you had a situation where you have central bank governors making bets on whether interest rates are going to go up or down and then going into their monthly meeting and going, yeah, well, I realize that inflation is a bit problematic at the moment, but I did put a bet that it was going to stay flat. So I'm going to stay flat. Thanks. To take it back to the point that I was making at the start, previously the amount of money in these markets was too small to make any of that worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
But these markets are growing by like 50% a month.
Exactly.
If you can make 8 times your salary betting on information that you know because you are in a certain privileged informational position.
Mm.
If you can make 8 years' salary on a bet,
why wouldn't you?
A lot of people are going to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, because it's wrong. That's why we wouldn't, Cara. You and I would never.
Hey, well, we wouldn't. But we're pathetic for that reason.
And we're chicken.
We just got to go to our job every week to make our money.
That's right. Now, Cara, I bet that on Thursday we are going to be putting out an episode about an interesting development with the Trump family attempting to buy a large tract of land in Albania and turning it into a large luxury resort. This has led to now months of massive street protests in Albania. I bet that we're going to be talking about that on Thursday.
Amazing. I'm going to make the bet that you will say in that episode the word flamingo at least twice. Something that I have no control of.
No.
Bets on.
Yeah, bets on. All right, let's see how it goes. I'll see you Thursday.
Catch you then.